1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. Now, there are a number of names for the feast that the Lord Jesus Christ has left us and which we keep in obedience unto him. It's been called the Eucharist because the Lord gave thanks that night when he broke the bread. He gave thanks for the cup, so there's a thanksgiving about it. It's called a sacrament because it's a sign and there's something that is covenantal about it, an oath and a sign. And it's called also the communion because we have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ in the bread and in the cup. Here you will observe that the Apostle Paul gives it the name the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. So it's a biblical name and it's one we often use, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. And it's one that I want to think about with you tonight briefly before we come to the table, just to know what it is that we have here set before us. It is a supper, first of all, if we just think about that word. A supper is not a snack. It's not just a wee bite to eat. A supper is a major meal in Bible times. A significant meal. Probably the main meal. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ identifies his table as. And what is upon it? It's a meal for the people of God. It's something major. It's something that is principal in their spiritual life and in their walk with the Lord. So it is something that the soul needs. Whenever the Lord calls it a supper, you can't do without your supper. You have to have a main meal every day, regularly, or you'll be famished. And so this is necessary for the people of God. And it should be observed regularly. Because it is a supper. That's, you know, the idea that's only observed once a year, or something like that, doesn't accord with the idea of a supper. So it is a regular thing that the people of God, I think, ought to be observing and keeping, a principal meal, an important part of our spiritual diet. Because the Church of God, the assembly, is like a house, isn't it? It's like a family. And the family have their supper, and they're together. And the Lord's table, the Lord Jesus has made the Lord's table like that. We're a wee family. We're a little house. And we come together around this meal. The major family meal then, that shows its importance. It is also identified with the evening. This is not a word, certainly not in New Testament times, that's identified with breakfast or with the morning meal. It's identified with the main meal. After everybody's finished their work, whenever everybody's finished their duties, when all the coming and going from the house is over, and it's just night time, the evening time, and they're coming together for their evening meal, their supper, so that all the family are there. And the Passover meal was like that. It was an evening meal. And the Lord Jesus Christ instituted it in the evening time. Paul says the night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. So that is important that the Lord implemented it in the evening and that he calls it a supper. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't observe the Lord's Supper in the afternoon or in the morning service. I don't think it means that we can certainly do that, but its institution was in the evening because the Passover meal was in the evening. It was kept at night time because the church is in the darkness and the world outside is dark and the world lieth in darkness.
But we are the family of God, and he's brought us in out of the darkness. And we have a table where we can eat and sup with our Lord Jesus Christ at his table. So that's the idea of it, the importance of it being an evening meal, a family meal, darkness outside, we're all together, we're able to be together. All the saints should come to the table. You don't like anybody absent from the family at the table, at the supper, something amiss when that's taking place, and you don't like that. The whole family should come to the table together. The supper before bed. It also reminds us that there'll be the dawning of the day soon. The new day. There'll be a new day. We keep the Lord's table till he comes. And he's going to come. There'll be the morning break one time. And the day will dawn. And the Lord will come through the sky and bring us into the everlasting light and the everlasting dawn. And the evening supper reminds us of that. So we are together, little family. It's a great time. And also there is an interesting verse in the Epistle to the Hebrews that once at the end of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so we're reminded that the sacrifice took place in the evening time, in the evening part of the world. Whenever Christ came, as far as God was concerned, it was the end of the world. I know it's went on for 2,000 years, but it's the last age as far as the Lord is concerned, however long it lasts. There were different kind of ages before he came, and when the fullness of time has come at the last, Christ came and he sacrificed himself. So it's the evening time of the world. Whenever Jesus Christ died, there's really nothing major to take place except the gathering in of the church and of all the people of God before the end. So we're in the last days, because Christ died at the end of the world, and we're in the last days. And the evening supper reminds us of that, that the sacrifice was near the end of the day, really, and it's just the night before the dawn of the new day. So those are the ideas perhaps that are latent in the idea of it as a supper. But then it is the Lord's supper. Not just a supper. Not just Lord's supper. Not just Christ's supper. Not just Jesus' supper. It's the Lord's supper. The Spirit of God has moved Paul to write those words and to express it thus. In other words, it's something that the Lord has appointed. You see, it's his house. It's the Lord's house. And it's the Lord's day. And it's the Lord's meal. And it's of his choosing and his appointing and has his authority behind it. It's an institution that night established by Jesus Christ. And what is Jesus Christ? Is he just somebody who we can listen to if we just want to, and maybe not listen to if we don't want to? No, he is to us the Lord. He's the Lord. The Lord of glory. The Lord of heaven. And it's his supper. And so there's no choice about keeping it, is there? This do in remembrance of me. The Lord said it. Whenever he laid it out for his people, he's not expecting or anticipating any of them to rebel and stay away from it. No, it's the Lord's supper, the Lord's table. He himself has laid it. He himself has said it. He himself has dressed it. He himself has died and sacrificed himself and appointed these symbols of that. And so it is part of our obedience to observe this. It's delightful obedience. Nothing hard about it. It's a treat. It's a blessing. It's a feast. It's a meal of fat things. It's bone and marrow. and fat in God's house. So it's not just the supper of Jesus or the supper of Christ, but Paul really wants to bring out this authority. You can't bring your lunch and mix it all up with it and, you know, think you can come and, you know, have tea and coffee and all of that and mix it all together and think you can do that. No, the Lord's Supper is different. The Lord's Supper is distinct and separate. And it's the only thing in his house that has his authority as far as feasting is concerned spiritually. The Lord's Supper. It's his because the Lord prepared it. The Lord blesses it. It has his blessing. He's able to bless it because it's the supper of the Lord. And he commands it. And he wants us to be present at it in obedience. So it's good that you're here tonight, brethren and sisters, because you are obeying the Lord. You're obeying the Lord. And he has a treat for us. And it's very important for our growth in grace and our sanctification. So we want to meditate and just reflect upon him as we partake of the emblems and eat the bread and drink the wine together. Let us pray. Lord, bless the word. And just bring us now to the table to participate in the feast. And may we be so conscious of the presence of Jesus. And may we realize what it has cost him and what was the price of our salvation. And may we be humbled and melted. And may we be thankful and appreciative. And may we spiritually grow by the Holy Spirit's power as we obey God in this ordinance. May we spiritually grow. Let thy people grow through the supper of the Lord. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.